through the Adobe Connect as well and also record it. Do we need to wait for the recording, or is everything ready to go?
Hi, excuse me. Just let me know when you're ready to start the recording.
I guess we can start.
Okay, great. One moment, please. I will let you know when it started.
And as it is starting, you know, those are sitting outside. Feel free to sit at the table, you know.
The recordings have now been started. Please go ahead.
Thank you. And welcome to the JIG meeting, the Joint CCNSO, GNSO, IDN Working Group. This is a working group meeting here at the ICANN Singapore. And I guess we'll start by sort of a sort of a roll call in a way by just everyone introducing who you are, where you're from. And if I can start from Avery.
Hi, I'm Avery. I guess I'm an observer on the JIG from the GNSO, and I'm chair of the NCSG. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Oksana Prikhodko, Ukraine European Media Platform. I'm a member of the working group of IDN Variants, and I'm from ALAC working group also.
Vladimir Shadrunov, I'm the director of policy for Telnik.tel registry, member of the registry stakeholder group.
Joseph Yi from Philis, just to participate and then want to learn about what the progress of the issues.
Chris Dillon from University College London. I'm a member of the Chinese case study.
Edmund Chung from Dot Asia, a co-chair for this working group from the GNSO side.
Jian Zhang from APTLD, co-chair from CCNSO side.
Dennis Jennings, ICANN consultant staff member and project leader for the IDN Variant Issues Project.
Barry Boswinkle, staff support for this working group.
Gabriela Shetek, CCNSO Secretariat.
Salman Hussein, I'm an observer on JIG.
Manel Ismail, I'm a member of the Arabic case study on IDN variants and Egypt GAC representative.
Andrei Kolesnikov started here as a CCNSO, but then moved to GNSO, and also I'm running with .rf, so kind of familiar.
Junsei Operisain.
Henry Chen from Hong Kong, DOCHK, and also APTLD Secretary.
And from the back row, I wonder if you want to...
Here is me, Wei Zhao from CNIC. I'm the observer of the JIG working group. I'm participating in this meeting by remote, so I can't be there.
Good to have you with us, Zhao Wei.
Okay, Daniel Kalchev from the Bulgarian TOD Registry and the Cyrillic Working Group.
Hello, I'm the observer, and I come from the NCUC, yes? My name is Yuan Yuan Guan. You can call me Leslie.
Christina Nordstrom, CCNSO Secretariat.
Linda Saint-Jacques, GNSO Secretariat.
Thank you. So I guess we'll get started. I see that we have a number of new people join us, and I just want to say that this group itself, we really welcome more participation and welcome observers. So feel free if you have, you know, by the end of this session, hopefully you're interested enough to join our biweekly calls. But given that we have quite a number of new people who haven't joined previously. I would spend probably about 5 minutes or so just to give you a brief history of what this working group is about. The JIG, the Joint IDN, basically Joint CCNSO, GNSO, IDN Working Group, was one of the first joint working groups between the CCNSO and GNSO. And it's created by a mutual charter between the organizations. It started with 5 members each from the CCNSO and the GNSO, and then thereupon other observers. And also ICANN support staff. We had, ample support from staff, which is very important, and of course Dennis joining as an observer from the especially as we liaise our work with the IDN variance issues project. We started since March of 2010. We identified 3 issues of common interest. The first one is single character IDN TLDs. Second one was IDN TLD variants, and the third one was universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. These are the 3 issues that the JIG has identified as issues of common interest between the CCNSO and the GNSO. So this is, the 3 topics that we talk about. In terms of meetings, we have been holding conference calls since March last year, as I mentioned. We've had face-to-face meetings on each of the ICANN meetings since then, Brussels, Cartagena, and San Francisco, and of course here now in Singapore. So that's really the general background, and I sort of moved to the agenda that was sent around the list earlier. And just as one additional background, out of the 3 issues, the first one was single character IDN TLDs, and we have completed the final report on that issue, and it was adopted by both of the councils and eventually passed on to the board. And it's now with ICANN staff in terms of the implementation, and that actually is one of the agenda items if we get there, which is to follow up with the staff team on the implementation of the single character IDN TLDs. With that, I was wondering if anyone had any questions before I move on. Seeing none. So the agenda that was sent around, first of all, one of the first item that we should maybe talk a little bit about is the charter itself. This group was formed by, as I mentioned, a mutual charter between CCNSO Council and GNSO Council. And in the original, in the charter, actually, it specified a sort of natural conclusion when the board adopts or approves the new GTLD applicant guidebook, which I guess by now everyone knows that that happened this morning. And so, one of the things that we should take a look at is how, to the extension of the working group charter. In the CCNSO and GNSO council lunch earlier today, the issue was brought up briefly. I think Leslie, chair of CCNSO, also mentioned added to what I just said just now in saying that the charter also allowed if both the councils agree to extend continue the work, then the JIG can and should continue. And looking back at the 3 issues that we identified, we have completed one of them. And the second one, which is IDN TLD variants, is I think we're working we're continuing the work and working in parallel or in coordination with the IDN VIP And also we've identified the third item, which is the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs, which seems to become more and more of a topic that is of interest, especially with the IDN CCTLDs that are being deployed. So the general feeling, at least from between myself and my co-chair, Jane, is that we would like to continue the working group and to ask for the two councils to extend the charter. And I think the initial reactions from the councilors seems to be positive so far. But I wonder if, Jane, you want to add to that?
Yeah, also because, you know, we haven't finished our item. Need to be worked on three items. So I think we should continue this working group. So we're going to ask both council to recharge the authorization to continue it. And also, Leslie mentioned if we could provide a rough time frame for each item we're working on, that'll be better even.
Right. So I guess the sort of the initial informal feedback is that we should come up with the remaining items and also a timeline to achieve those, to complete those reports. The process forward is probably, you know, the general feeling is that we would continue the work and we'll get formal resolutions, I guess, from the respective councils as their work proceeds. So on that particular item, I was wondering if anyone want to speak to that or add. Seeing none, can I take that as a general consensus that we think that this, you know, group should continue and work through the other issues of common interest identified. I see nodding heads, so I'll take that as a general consensus. So, thank you. Sorry. Okay, so the next item that we sent around was the IDN TLD variants, and talking about some of the next steps. And I think this week we had a series of meetings from the IDN VIP. I think a lot of that we were seeing a lot of overlap in this gathering here. So I don't really think we need to repeat a lot of the things that were discussed there. But I think one of the things that might be useful is to continue to play sort of a liaison role between the IDN VIP and also the IETF discussions that were that has been happening. So in our, just for those who were not there in the working group, the working group also looked at, in the last meeting and through the mailing, also looked at the IETF work on the requirements for aliasing in the DNS, essentially. And we felt that perhaps this group, it is good and appropriate for this group to, liaise with them and also provide some input into them. And I guess, you know, on that particular subject, I'm also interested to hear from Dennis, since we have his presence here, in terms of the, because one of the things that I think that I mentioned earlier is about timelines, and I think one of the interest is to synchronize sort of the timeline that the IDN VIP is working on with the work the JIG will take on. But one of the things is to that we said we would do is to observe sort of what the IDN VIP would be working first, and then you know, somewhat catching up and then deciding on the items that this group would take on. So I wonder if Dennis could add to that in terms of the timeline and how you see that collaboration continuing.
Edmund, thank you very much indeed. Dennis Jennings here. Yes, just to remind everybody that the project has invited the JIG to have an observer on each of the case studies so that you are constantly informed. It's an observer role. It'll be up to the case study coordinator as chair of the meetings to invite people to participate and so on. And we hope that we'll keep the JIG informed. There are obviously a number of people here who are also on the working groups, so there will be plenty of opportunity for information to flow. And you'll have seen from the presentation the wiki and the mailing list for all those people who want to enter into the general discussions and track what's going on in the case studies. The timelines are the 30th of September for the case study reports. That we've decided to hold to that, even though the amount of work to be done is really quite enormous. If you were at the session over lunchtime, you'd have heard some of the complexity from some of the case studies, which is mind-boggling for me, perhaps not for those who are experts in the area. So we're going to hold on that, and the case study teams are already up and fired, ready to go, and have detailed plans, including a detailed timeline for the Arabic case study, and we hope they'll be able to deliver against that. Once we have the individual case studies, the current plan is that the six case study coordinators will meet in Dakar in Senegal and start the work of producing a collective report or a harmonized report or a report that tries to consolidate those things that can be consolidated that are common and identify those that that are unique to each of the case studies and produce that final report. I think the date is the 16th of December. I'd expect by then, by Senegal, we'll also have more detailed plans about the next phase of the project, which is solving the issues that have been identified. I think that addresses your question, Edmund.
Thank you, Dennis. I just switched over the slides to some next steps that we have identified earlier in our discussion at the working group, and I guess we're still at the stage of observing and participating in the VIP study groups. I think because right now, as most of you would probably be aware as you participate in the VIP study groups, that it was going through the process of identifying, you know, what will be talked about. So I think in terms of this group, it seems to me to make sense to wait for a little while longer so that those questions are being collected. And from there, work on some of the things in terms of continuing our work on the some of the policy aspects that we have identified earlier. Just to, as a reminder of some of the things that we have said earlier in the working group and for the benefit of those who are just joining, we sort of in terms of coordination of work, we were looking to the VIP to work on a lot of the more linguistic side of issues, which is why it's they are separated into the six different languages, case studies, I should say. And avoid using the word language. And in our working group, I also advertise not using the word language, but anyway, I understand the sensitivity there, and so it's separated into the six studies for that purpose. And in terms of JIG, I think what is really important for us would probably be to look back at whether and if there are any policy implications, such as if it deviate, you know, ultimately would it deviate from the GNSO recommendations, policy recommendations for new GTLDs, and also you know, I guess on the CCNSO side, whether it, you know, whether and if it ultimately what we do or what IDNVIP eventually does might deviate from those from the fast track policies as well. So I see.
Maybe as another point, I think what will be raised on tomorrow and on the IDN PDP, because that's far more important in looking to the future, is the IDN PDP will continue and will not be waiting for the variant and will revisit the policy itself once the policy implications of the VIP study are clear, because there is no sense of comfort, and maybe the results from the JIC could be provide input, but it's up to the IDN PDP, and that will be done. And as soon as that is done, and probably we hope to conclude the, say, the work under the IDN PDP by Dakar, that will replace the fast track in due course when it's implementable. But we have the experience of the fast track, so we can build on that one as well. So that could be reasonably quickly, I hope. Background information.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think that's quite important. This is Edmund speaking again, and I think I'm not sure whether we are describing this, but I guess for those purposes, just to note as you speak, who you are as you speak. So so thank you, Bart, for that intervention and the update from the CCNSO and the CCPDP. I think that's important as we go about this discussion as well. So I guess with that's really the background of which, and I guess I wanted to just quickly identify that we earlier on the JIC actually did went through a round of discussion about some of the policy aspects for IDN TLD variant, and an early draft was circulated. As mentioned, I'm thinking, you know, we would at this point I guess slow down for another month or so in anticipation of the work from the IDN VIP, and then probably to augment that as we move forward. But just want to highlight that we did went through a process, and we will pick this up probably in about a month or a month and a half time. That's at least the proposal.
This is more for practicalities. What's going on, we have, as this working group has established a very good working relation, I think, with the VIP. You have a type of deadline by the end of September, and is just focusing on what's happening within the in the VIP is probably taking a lot of time, adding already something by the mid of August, because that's what you're actually saying. I would advise to wait until just one more month, because you got the other topic as well. And turn the order around, play your role as an observer, whether it's one month or 2 months later, it doesn't matter anymore. But then you know precisely what is the outcome or the what the real direction is, and I'm a bit selfish in this case. There will be summer holidays in Europe, and most of your support staff is located in Europe, unfortunately, but so if we could manage around that, and it will not really delay the work of the JIC, then you have a reasonable schedule forward as well.
Thank you, Bart, and I hope that's not the case for the IBN VIP in terms of the staff.
No, it's not, but it is a challenge. The holidays in the Northern Hemisphere, in Europe and in the Middle East. And as I mentioned this morning, Ramadan is in August this year, which adds to the complexity to demand a lot of work. So be under no illusion that the deadline of the 30th of September is a very significant challenge for the case study teams.
Understand that. This is not what Jake is talking about. But thanks for the information. It's useful information. But I think that in general is the way forward. We'll the reason why I said a month and a half is I guess we will revisit it in our working group calls as we go along. But I think the general direction of waiting for the September and for the first rounds of the case studies to come out is probably a useful approach. Yeah.
And the second thing is, say, if it's those who were on the calls, I think, when we start, or the Jake started to discuss the, say, the outreach efforts to make IDNs more effective, is that I think the working group already agreed on a way forward in saying at least suggest that something needs to be done to the outside world and the vendors, not just maybe in cooperation with DNSSEC acceptability as well, because there is an issue and it's also reasonably similar for some groups. So that the working group would focus on that one first.
Thank you, Bart. And that is exactly my next slide. And that is the next item on the agenda. But Arvi wanted to...
Yeah, just want, before you moved on, one of the things we had talked about, and I don't know how we wanted to go about it, was making the recommendation, either formally or informally, to the IETF. Oh, that's after this?
That's the last bullet item. You're right.
Oh,
I missed
it. You had
already
moved on to your next slide.
No,
so that's why I wanted to come back.
You're right. We should come back, and please continue.
Okay. Sorry. Did I say it was Arvi? Okay. So we had talked about making some sort of communication to either Suzanne, maybe just Tower, or more formally to the IETF, the DNSSEC, on the suggestion we were going to make that perhaps they wait a little longer before taking the current draft to working group review and publication until they were able to get some of the VIP examples, because one of the weak parts of the draft from the IETF at the moment is on their case studies. And so there was an assumption that they didn't have to wait for the VIP process to complete totally, but somewhere along the line, we might be able to help them with the case studies or the VIP group. But I don't know where we are in the decision to notify them, just tap, you know, Suzanne on the shoulder and convey that, or do something more formal, et cetera.
Thank you, Avery. And that is supposedly on my plate. I think remember from our last call, I should send a note from, I guess, from myself and Jane to Suzanne and Andrew on that. I apologize, I haven't done that. I should do that. And also, I think we said we were going to try to come up with a more detailed document, and maybe we can talk a little bit about that. And I'm looking right at you and seeing if you would be interested in maybe drafting something of that sort, besides just tapping them and saying,
yeah. No, certainly, as I say, I do still participate in the IETF, and I'm willing to help work on it. As I say, I think, and we talked about it in that meeting, I think Suzanne's document is quite good, except for the case study part being still weak and not being able to give enough of an indication to the people looking at requirements as to what the cases might be for it. So, sure, I'll do stuff.
Thank you, Avery. And I will definitely send a quick note to Suzanne and Andrew on it. So with that, we move to the next item, which is the third issue of common interest that we identified. And I'm glad that we have so many new people joining for this session here, and I think that the issue is universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. I guess just to categorize the issue is that there is a universal acceptance of TLDs in general from ICANN staff, ICANN team, especially it was started when the first round of GTLDs were introduced, .museum, .info, it triggered an issue where there are certain applications or ISPs that choked on long TLDs, those TLDs that are more than 3 characters long. And so there were some work done back then on making sure that there's universal acceptance, different applications would be able to take in new GTLDs. The issue we are talking about here is that issue, while that issue affected certain areas, and as we look into IDN TLDs, there are certain applications, there are certain infrastructure, even ISPs that may have issues with IDN TLDs, either treating them as malicious domains or, simply not being able to handle IDN TLDs. One of the examples is, let's say a Facebook profile where there is a domain name, you can put in a domain name there. Would they be able to handle IDN TLDs? So this is the broad topic. I think, I'd sort of, one of the things that this group wants to do at this point is a stock-taking exercise in trying to, get a sense of what those issues are, what those issues might be in an ICANN and GNSO, CCNSO context. When I talk about that, I mean both, actually, whether there might be any policies to be considered. It's likely no, the answer, but I think we should still ask that question. And also, what initiatives that ICANN probably should take on, or the ICANN community should take on towards this direction and towards addressing this issue of acceptance of IDN TLDs. And the issue previously that I mentioned only affects GTLDs because CCTLDs are always 2 characters, but this issue becomes an issue of common interest with the introduction of IDN CCTLDs. So I guess with that, I sort of open the floor to try to get a stock-taking of these issues. Please go ahead. And mention your name as you...
Оксана Приходько. My comments is about the last point, coordination with other initiatives. We have more than one, maybe more than 2 working groups on IDNs, and I see some difference in approaches to the problem of IDN. As for me, the key issue is alternative routes. And for example, in our Cyrillic group, proposition to discuss this issue was rejected rather aggressively. Within our ALAC working group, I met quite different understanding. What do you think about it, and how would you like to coordinate all these approaches?
Thank you. I just want to clarify, you're talking about alternate routes. So outer routes from ICANN, the ICANN.
And other maybe political, cultural, ideological issues of IDNs, not only technical aspects.
I think that's a perfectly okay topic to to include. And in fact, this is probably a policy aspect. And I think this is definitely a good thing to raise and include. In general, though, I think ICANN does have a... we can refer back to some ICANN statements about a single route, the position of maintaining a single route, and that should sort of address that issue, but it's probably good to... identify that as one of the things, but refer back to the general ICANN position of maintaining a single route. That's my view. I don't know whether anyone wants to add to or agree with me or disagree with me? Avery?
This is Avery Doria. I don't know. I would kind of think that we would want to avoid the political topic so that we would avoid the religious response.
Andre?
I support Avery. I don't know what the alternative routes are.
Okay. Anyone else want to add to that? So it seems like the sentiment is that, yes, the issue was raised, but we do not wish to include this in our documents.
That's kind of what I was saying, because to just go with the sort of facile standard answer would be problematic in some sense.
Okay. I don't see a strong fight for it.
I just hope for the reaction of the community, because I hope that all mailing lists and all results of the discussion will be open for comments, and maybe a broader community give more support for this idea.
Okay. So far, it's 2-1. I guess I'll take 2 as the bigger number for the time being, and well, unless somebody wants to speak further on this. but I guess the question is still out in terms of other issues. I don't think we need to come back to this issue. We probably won't include in for the time being. And if we go out with public comments and this come back, then we'll have to address them as public comments anyway. So, Andre.
Edmund, sorry, I just want to make this clear. This alternative route, so it just pops up. There's a history, you know, there's like, there was a couple of projects where people launched alternative patched, ISP patched DNS services running .ru, like RU, you know, like there were like other countries was running in a violation of the single root system of the ICANN. Kind of, you know, system. And I strongly believe this is in the past, and there is no reason to come back. I mean, they're gone. We have IDN, fast track TLD, CC TLDs, and we soon have real IDN GTLDs. So, I mean, there is no reason to come back to this dark ages of the internet. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
I just wanted to support what was just said.
Thank you. So I'm sure this is not the only thing that we can talk about in terms of acceptance of IDN TLDs. I wonder.
Yeah, sorry. Also, there's a working group. What's the name? SCDC, the group which actually takes care of the application level for the IDNs. I think it's run by VeriSign, right? There is one working group which deals with the application level, gives a recommendation to the application level providers. So we must dig into it, and if we list the groups which work on this issue, there is another one. As this.
Thank you. On that, I don't know whether June. You want to add? I know it's VeriSign helped get that started as well, and I think that initiative is quite relevant to this.
I have no other comment than the alternate route is not a scope of this working group. Yeah.
No, not the alternate route. We've moved beyond the alternate issue now.
I'm getting ready to go home. So.
We're talking about the. I couldn't record the exact name. The consortium of various
IDN Software Developer Consortium.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
We are not trying to replicate anything being done in ITF and ICANN perspective. We are trying to facilitate adoption protocol
as well as adoption of any best practices or any human factors such as IDM variant study in the future by application vendors, which include not only browser vendors, email vendors, but also a web-based email, and ultimately a universal acceptance of IDM and second level as well as top level.
Thank you. And that's why I think Andre raised the issue that in terms of this issue of universal acceptance of IDN TLDs, it's probably a very relevant topic.
Yeah, IDN should be treated and handled and usable ultimately, like ASCII name does, right? When people use ASCII names, they do not expect any weird behavior no matter which internet application they use. IDN should be in that fashion ultimately for better and wider adoption. That's what we are ultimately aiming at as a group collectively.
Thank you. So seeing no burning issues are coming up, why don't I actually try to ask the questions in, you know, I sort of framed it in a way and see if we can, you know, get a little bit more from the group gathered here. The first question, I think it, you know, it we are obliged to ask is on the issue of universal acceptance of IDN TLDs, are there, you know, or, you know, are there any policies that should be considered, you know, whether it's, you know, what registries should be doing, you know, obliged in terms of ICANN policy. My general feeling is no, but, you know, I still think we should ask the question. Andre?
Yeah, I'm a little bit familiar with a universal acceptance because we have a lot of domain names and a very still low usage of IDN domains because of some applications it just does work. But ICANN can only recommend, and this is a question to the community, not to like ICANN as a body which runs the internet addressing system. Mostly it's that's application providers and search engines and Facebook, you mentioned, right, who really have to accept IDNs as a universe, as an ASCII, basically. And for them, it's a matter of commercial, you know, commercial view, commercial value of their services, because if they don't deal with IDN properly, they may lose a significant part of the internet users. I don't see it as an ICANN issue, honestly, but it would be good if people who deals with IDNs, you know, do their preaching, do their work back at home, trying to push vendors to support for the universal support of the IDNs. And this is more of like marketing and promoting rather than procedures and resolutions.
Thank you. Here's a question then. Should ICANN mandate registrars, ICANN accredited registrars, they take WHOIS information, right? They have their emails and, you know, should they, must ICANN accredited registrars accept all IDN TLDs in the emails, for example? I'm guessing not all registrars. Those are databases, right, for WHOIS contacts. That is potentially one issue. And, you know, in terms of domains, the WHOIS also contains the container of UR domains, or when you do RWHOIS, there's a container of the URL. So is that something that ICANN should look into?
Just a question. And now this is more a procedural question with regard to the work of the JIC. You're now very deep into accredited registrars and who is and how that works, and that's something is completely different in the CCTLD world. So I advise you to keep it up. Otherwise, you end up in a report, if you do anything on this, that is fully and only applicable to the GTLD world.
Good point, Bart.
Should I say that this is a painful issue also for the country codes? Let me put it like this, Bart. Yeah. This issue exists.
Avery?
Yeah, there's just the one other thing is there's also the IRD working group that's looking at the who is and IDN's issue and so on. So if there's a coordination effort, there's certainly that. On in terms of the registrars on the GTLD side, I would think trying to get anywhere close to requiring them to do anything would be scary. I think, you know, one of the other things that perhaps could be encouraged, and by the way, I'm always a little nervous about the notion of universal. I think if we get global, we're doing fine. In terms of one of the interesting things that happened in the IPv6 world, which is another universal adoption process, there were people that put together little tests that people could run to see if you were in an environment where an IPv6 worked. Now, obviously, this group wouldn't be the one to build such tests, but perhaps encouraging the creation of, once there are more IDNs, some sort of ICANN test where, you know, you could easily, from a location, see what works and what doesn't. Because at the moment, we could sort of encourage people, get your mail to work, get your website to work, get this to work, get that to work, but there's really nothing to tell people, is it working, is it not working, do I know, do I care? So perhaps there's something in encouraging ICANN to build some kind of tool eventually that allows for a determination, am I in a place in a, where IDN does work. So that might be something, but...
Yeah. Thank you, Avery. That's a good point. And in terms of the terminology global versus universal, I took that from the original ICANN staff initiative for universal acceptance. So.
I was just being petty. The word universal always kind of makes me petty. I'm sorry.
It's not the trademark we're talking about, but I guess this is one of the suggestions that we, you know, it's, again, this is part of this, I guess, stock taking of what are the issues that, you know, we should include in our initial and final reports. So that's why I'm trying hard to get everyone to think about all the issues that might be there. And as I was going through, it was the first question that sort of obliged to ask is, are there any policies related to acceptance of IDN TLDs that should be? Because we can definitely put in the positions that says, no, there isn't any policy related. It's all about... initiatives to encourage the acceptance, and as no, so far I haven't, you know, we haven't stumbled across any.
Does that... Yeah, I guess again, and I'm talking too much again. In terms of the IRD working group, they're looking at, for example, how one would do it, if I understand correctly. Then there'll come a time when GNSO and CCNSO will have to make policy decisions on what should happen. Whether this group wants to make recommendations to them on that could be something that we'd want to talk about. I don't know. But that could be a place where, you know, people are looking at what can be done technically, what could be changed technically. At some point, the two policy groups got to figure out, okay, should we do that? This group could have something to recommend on those decisions if we're looking for something policy-oriented that this group could productively work on.
Thank you, Avery. I want to stay neutral on whether we would take it on or not, but I think it is probably a good idea to include it in our our initial report as one of the items that is talked about, and it's further down the road after the IRD would have done this might be an area of interest, but at this point it seems like at least for based on the discussion around the table just now, this is not a topic that we would take on at this point. Did I summarize it? Okay. Hearing no other potential policy issues, then in terms of policy recommendation, really, what I mean, then moving on is what are the other types of initiatives that ICANN and the ICANN community, given the ICANN community, we could recommend to be initiated. One of which I already put down is potentially in the future. I know there are tools that ICANN did build for the universal acceptance of TLDs in general. I wonder if they are applicable for IDN TLDs. We should definitely ask staff that question. And so that's one of them. Anything else, we think? And I guess, just some of the items that I generally put together is, are there materials or things for registrant, registrar, registry related? Anything we need to do in terms of outreach to infrastructure providers? Application providers, applications, does anyone want to, I'm just looking around and seeing if anyone has any ideas what we should try to incorporate in our report going forward in terms of recommending ICANN and the ICANN community spend effort or not on these type of issues.
I may be in completely the wrong area here, but I'll say that.
Your name?
I'm Chris Dillon from University College London, and I'm wondering whether there could be some problems with input software. So it's the software that people use, for creating strings, not just for IDNs, but for anything, word processing. I'm actually sort of imagining, if I were typing an address in Japanese, what problems would I have? And I wonder if this is an issue. Actually, punctuation, because to find the full stop, for example, the dot, on a Japanese keyboard is not particularly easy unless you go back into English. Also things like forward slashes. I mean, this won't be a problem with Greek and Russian, I don't think, but for other languages, these little things could be really quite difficult. So, maybe that's completely off subject.
No, thank you, Chris. And I want to generally encourage more in thoughts on this, and because this is really more of a stock-taking session, and I think in terms of input software, that definitely seems to be an interesting topic. But I guess my initial my immediate reaction is, what could ICANN and the ICANN community, and understanding that generally registries, registrars, and what can we do? And CCTLDs, of course, included. Is there something that we can encourage?
Well, it may be just an education thing. It may be that we say, if you are typing in Japanese, then this is where the keys are, if you want to do that. But it might also be that the software, we would need to lobby Microsoft and Apple and other companies and say, you know, if you want to make things a little bit easier, then make these full stops and forward slashes more readily available. Because the thing is that without them, you may get pressure for perhaps some registries that are just wanting to type one thing without a dot and without a slash, if possible. It would end up going in that direction.
Thank you. I think that, you know, we take that, you know, part of the stock taking, you know.
I'm just going to talk about something very different. Is it okay? I understand why you're trying to come up with a list of issues that we should discuss, but then of these issues, there are some that are much, much more important than others. For example, I mean, the things that Andre mentioned. So I think, yes, we should do the stock taking, but then we should prioritize and make a strong recommendation or make a strong statement about the problems that exist in certain areas like email and browsers and stuff.
Absolutely. You know, I think, definitely we should prioritize. As you know, mentioned, we're still in the stock taking phase, but certainly take that. And you know, once we, hopefully, we have a longer list. So far, we only have three or four. Actually, two or three. I'm curious if you know. I'm sure there should be more issues, you know, on this topic. I guess looking at the time, though, I think we are. We're running to the end of this session. This session ends at 6:30, right? So it is about 6:30 right now. We did start a little bit late, but still, in general, though, I think, you know, this is definitely a topic that is important. I don't think my sense around the table is that it is an important topic. It's probably not that easy to think on the fly of all the issues. So I encourage people to send it into the mailing list. And for those who are not already on the mailing list, we totally welcome you to join. If you want to join the working group, just send an email to myself or Jane. And I think we'll gladly add you to it. I think this is an issue that is relevant for the community. So I guess with that, we do have this recorded, and is it also scribed? It will be, and so that will, you can refer back to that. And I guess I'll start to summarize some of the items that we talked about, and then I'll probably throw out a few more of the items, and then the next steps will be to, as you mentioned, to enlarge that list, but also then to prioritize, and we can come back to talk about what we want to describe about the different issues, and then create an initial report and a final report. That's the general idea of the process for it. Okay, I guess I'm about to close the session. I'm just going around the room, see if anyone has any additional item burning issues that want to raise. There's one, please.
Dmitry, UACCTLD. There was an issue of WHOIS. I just want to add that I think for interim period, it would be a good idea to include Unicode decoded strings, maybe both for email addresses. You know, like I see some CCTLDs are doing that. For example, in RU, when they do the WHOIS lookup, you would see the IDN encoded name, so you can type it in Latin if you don't have access to Russian keyboard. It's probably many people in the world doing. And I think likewise would be a good idea to include it as a secondary item in any WHOIS output for any IDN object, be it the domain name or email address. It's probably that's it. I don't know how, which group it should be referred to, but I think it would be very important because realistically you can't expect everybody to have any keyboard, right? And especially with right to left, don't forget about right to left domain names, as we would see more of those in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Dimitri. And you know, I think that is a matter which probably is within the scope of the IRD, which was mentioned, the internationalized registration data, which I happen to also participate in. And so I'll take that back and to that side. And in fact, I can let you know that it is. I think it is part of the current thinking that the PUNY code would be included. So, but. That this is sort of out of scope of this particular discussion, but so I guess with that, I'd like to close the meeting. Thank you everyone for joining. Again, you know, you're welcome to join the mailing list and join the discussion going forward at the JAIC. Thank you.